My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 5th of October 2009 and the time is 10 past 3 in the morning, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age and where you've come from today?
It's Agent for Change, Worcester, and I'm 34.
How long have you lived in Worcester for?
Coming at 5 years.
Where did you live previously to that?
I was in London before that, and New York before that, and Cornwall before that, and the Midlands before that.
Do you mind explaining why you've travelled around so much?
It's part of the job. I suppose art's taken me to those places.
What's the job, can I ask?
Secret agent.
Because I've noticed you haven't used your real name. Do you mind explaining who Agent for Change is?
Agent for Change is a persona for a couple of projects, and the first is Plinth Number 4, which I did 2 years ago now, as a part of an MA practice, which was a critique of the fourth print. So I'm a bit of a hypocrite being here today. The second project was Warsaw Interrogation, which I did this Wednesday, so this week. So I thought I'd extend that project onto the fourth plinth, and it's investigating public art in the public realm.
Have you always been interested in this particular topic?
Yeah, very interested, really interested.
What stemmed your interest in this?
The idea of using the fourth plinth as a public art piece to show contemporary art, which I think is great. With some reservations. I'd quite like to know how the Wellcome Trust is connected to the fourth plinth. I thought they were a cross between art and biomedical science. So is it like a sociological study?
Yes.
Right.
Because what we're doing now is essentially an oral history of where you've come from and what you're doing.
Right, okay. That's quite interesting.
So how did you get into art and sort of doing your MA?
I suppose I've always been, it was kind of what I was good at school. So that's probably why I went into art. It was just I enjoyed it at school. So I've gone through art education. And it's a vocation, really. So.
Can I ask, you said you had some reservations about the project. Do you mind elaborating on that?
I don't want to sound disrespectful, obviously, because you've been so hospitable with inviting me here and accepting, you know, picking me from the lottery or whatever. So I don't want to be disrespectful, really. But there are a couple of things that are interesting in that the links with the sort of the hegemony of or it seems though the same old artists get the same old commissions to do things like fourth plinth, Turner Prize, Ebbs Fleet, which I don't mind. I sometimes think live and let live, but at the same time I'm quite interested in an idea of more artists getting more opportunities rather than the few chosen geniuses amongst those that are selected getting all the, it sounds a bit like sour grapes or something, but it isn't. It's just I have those sorts of reservations about the project, but it's still a great project. This is actually one of the best, I think this is the best Gormley, the best Gormley project.
So what does
Agent, out of all his work.
So what does Agent for Change campaign for?
Agent for Change is also a part of this thing called APB, which is Art Pro Bureau. So I'm looking for dynasties, conspiracies, nepotism, people rubbing each other's backs in the art world. But it's something that, it's like a hobby almost, because I'm not actually interested in the art world myself, although I'm an artist. I'm more interested in participatory dialectical art, so social, more social rather than market driven artwork. But I'm still, I don't know, I can't resist having been sort of critique. I kind of like being a bit subversive, a bit. Obviously I'm not going to affect anything by my actions, but I'm just have just in my own little world.
When was APB set up?
APB was set up in investigation into the fourth plinth. I think it was before these commission. It was just as these commissions were starting, so one and another hadn't been selected yet. It was before they actually went into the National Gallery. So there was a, I think there was a shortlist of more the artists, and it just occurred to me that shortlist had all the names on, and then you find out they get given £10,000 to just develop a proposal, and you think, I just start thinking about the fourth plinth. And so I did it. What I did was I decided to pretend that I myself had the commission, and tried to come up with 158 different things for the fourth plinth, one for every year that it'd been empty. So I included past artists' work as well. So I sort of made a model and put on 158 different things onto the plinth, and sort of made a film and a blog site. So it was trying to find out what sort of things you think of as an artist when you're given the commission to put something on such a strange plinth.
And you said you yourself are an artist. What do you focus on?
It's institutional critique. So I contextually, I like sort of Hans Hack and Mike Asher, who and Happenings, Fluxus, that type of thing. But I'm still learning, really. I'm just emerging, hopefully.
Where did you study?
Falmouth School of Art. And then I went off and did a residency in New York and got representation. And that was really sort of, I was selling work and I was having nice exhibitions, but it was really, it wasn't fun. It wasn't rewarding enough. So I went into teaching. So I've done 10 years of teaching since then, and I've just completed my MA at Wolverhampton University, sort of the old polytechnics thing. And it was just a really interesting thing to go outside of London to do an MA, sort of a polytechnic college. And it has changed my practice over the last 3 years.
Where and what do you teach?
Espionage and art.
And you said it's changed your art. How exactly?
It's made me realise that there's more to life than getting representation again or making objects, actually. I think we live in a world with too many objects, so I'm not that interested in being... I was interested in... I was even painting maybe 3-4 years ago, and I don't do that anymore because I'm not really interested in object-driven work or the commerce of the market. I know it's really naive, and I know the art market is really important to art, but it's, like I say, live and let live, and maybe dip in now and then and be a bit subversive like today.
So what are you planning to do with your hour on the phone?
Just make a flow diagram. A flow diagram of all the connections that I'm aware of between artists, universities, organisations, projects.
So how do you like arts become more accessible to those who are not the sort of the geniuses as you describe them?
Yeah. For a start, if we gave more money to more artists, then we could start communicating with more people and also celebrate diversity. So instead of us having really grandfather artists you know, who were ex YBA and now doing massive projects and furnishing houses in Los Angeles and New York. It'd be nice if that money was filtered down to many more artists in with more public funding, or if these artists actually gave more back to universities in visiting lecturers or so yeah, I think through filter, I mean, it's great to have really high profile projects like this, and I have to admit it does affect a lot of people's opinion, but it can also catalyse it against conceptual art if they see it as just a promotion for the individual artist involved or an extension of their egos. So I would prefer to see more artists given more money to follow what they believe in.
You mentioned when you were in New York you were actually selling your artwork. What motivated you during that period of your life?
I think I was young and I wanted to make some money, and I probably wasn't interested in the actual art as much as I am now. But at the same time, it did feel very shallow. So, yeah, to begin with, I just started off wanting to promote myself, really, and which I still do. I mean, I mean, I wouldn't be here today if I didn't believe in that. And but if I didn't want to do that, but at the same time, oh, I don't know. I lost my train of thought. Sorry.
Was there a particular turning point in which you changed your views of the art world?
Yeah, Claudia Schiffer was at a private view, one of my private views, and I thought, okay, I've made it, and that was that thing, and went to the press, and New York at that time, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, was just it was really, you know, just get the artists in, eat them up and spit them out. And it was just so callous, and so I was expecting all this really good press, because I had this supermodel come to my private view, and there was a lot of press there, but it didn't even make the back page, you know, it made no press, and it was just, and then all of a sudden, I was selling work. But there was more demands from representation that they wanted a particular type of thing, and I was doing like this white out abstract expression, I was drawing architecture and then just whiting it out in sort of this American neo abstract expressionism sort of thing, and it was rubbish. So there you go.
You mentioned, obviously, and you talked about your reservations about the project, so what made you apply then?
It was because I wanted to play, really, I suppose.
And so how do you feel now that you're at this point in time?
I'm a really big hypocrite. And it's been quite a difficult thing to come down. I didn't know whether I wanted to do it or not. I do feel bad because obviously people really want to do it. And I really want to do it. And like I say, I really think it's a genuinely good project because it is relational and it is involving the public. So I do think it's a very good project. So it's not necessarily this project that I don't like. It's and there's lots of really deep, really weird connections with the mayor and the bylaws of Trafalgar Square and the way they've been changed over the last 10 years with and New Labour turning into this sort of, I don't know, this terrible organisation which sort of run... yeah, all those sorts of political things which I could rant on about. So there's a lot of stuff that isn't quite right, and there's a lot of connections that aren't quite right. But I don't want to take anything away from this project because it is a good project, and like it's brilliant actually. Like Gormley said, it gives everyone a voice, and so yeah, it's a great project. I'm not going to take the.
So what do you like to gain from the experience?
I don't know, really. I don't know.
You mentioned your political views. Do you mind going into a bit more detail about them?
No, because, well, No, it's too... No, not just now.
And outside of art and your work, what other interests do you have?
I'm becoming more and more civic-minded, and Worcester's becoming really important to me, because I'm bringing my family up there, so I've got my family and my kids and stuff. So that's obviously really important to anyone. So Worcester, no one knows where Worcester is. You say, I'm from Worcester, and they say, where's that? And yet it's this really important city in our history where there was all sorts of civil war battles and civil war powers sort of swapping over. So I've got a lot of civic pride growing, which I'm really interested in looking at artists with civic pride who want to just stay in their locality and bring artists in and work with artists in Worcester, in rural places. Civic pride I'm quite interested in.
So you mentioned you had a wife and children. How long have you been married?
Well, it's been a really rough day today. Brilliant day, because it was my daughter's fourth birthday. So I didn't come down till 11 o'clock at night, but all day I've been at a kids' party, so I'm knackered. We've had like 30 kids in the house running around. I've been married 5 years.
Have you found that having children has affected your artistic views as well as your life views?
Yeah, like I say, it's changed that civic mindedness, and make me realise how much crap there is in the world, really, and how much we're using and how much we're abusing the sort of environment and each other. And it'd be nice to have some sort of radical changes, but I don't know if I'll see that in my lifetime.
So what are you doing on a personal level
to challenge that? I've opened my own gallery space for artists and look at the work, socially engaged work within Worcester. So civically I'm doing a lot of work. I'm on the public art panel for Worcester as well, so I've got another interest here. This will all feed back into sort of public art ideas and ideology. So I'm trying to see, it'd be quite nice if we had a lot of contemporary artists doing really small civic projects, really, and then maybe you could change things like that. So that's one thing I'm doing, really, just concentrating on the local.
And what's important in your life?
My wife and kids, and art, probably. Quite passionate about it.
Do you find there's a tricky line, especially in your sort of artistic views, of when you can always be perceived as a hypocrite?
Yeah. I actually play with that all the time. Which is really strange. So, I'm Gemini. Does that make me... Yeah. Two sides to a personality. Don't really believe in that. I suppose so. And you just have to, that's why you have disguises and secret names and pseudonyms.
And just one final question, I'm going to ask you if you can just to sort of paint a picture of your life at this moment in time.
It's a really weird evening because it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I won't get any sleep, and I decided to come down I decided on what I was going to do last minute, and it's been a really busy week with lots of art things, so this is a really nice way to round it off. So I'm quite positive, actually, even though I sound like a moaning git.
Thank you.